The Ric Flair Show.
My name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Woo! To be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo! Right here, I'm the man. Woo!
The 16-time world champion. Woo!
Back behind the mic and telling it like it is.
Woo!
If you're not carrying the big gold, you're second best no matter what you tell yourself.
I'm the best.
Y'all playing catch-up ball. To the nature boy.
And now, your hosts of the Ric Flair Show, Ric Flair and Conrad Thompson.
Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, back for another week with the Ric Flair Show. It's none other than the nature boy, Ric Flair, 16 times world champion, and my co-host, who I mean my legendary co-host, after spending the weekend in New York and in Indianapolis and signing over 1,200 autographs in 3 days, believe me, the world is aware of Conrad Thompson, entrepreneur, owner of the Conradison, which I have had to show many pictures of this past week, and the second wealthiest man in Alabama, behind Dr. James Andrews. Conrad, how are you?
Well, I'm working on working my way up the list.
And lover extraordinaire.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble today, I can already tell.
That's the rumor.
Well, you know, I can't argue that rumor. I'm going to go with it. I'm going to let it go for this week.
Let it go. Hey, take it, man.
Well, I'm excited, man. We've got a big-time guest on.
Wow, do we ever.
Yeah.
Tension, man. Tension in the air.
It really is in the air. We've got the one and only Michael P.S. Hayes, the original Freebird, the innovator. He's back with us for round three here on the Ric Flair Show.
P.S., what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Nate?
Hey, thank you for taking the time. Ladies and gentlemen, as we talked about briefly a couple minutes ago, we got a couple minutes with Michael P.S. Hayes today. Last time we had him on the show, we were contemplating his induction into the Hall of Fame, and of which both I participated in, and Conrad was in the audience. It may have been the greatest Hall of Fame induction of all time.
Absolutely.
I felt Michael actually blew up twice rehearsing it during the day. So I can imagine the third time the lights were bright and everything, but man, that was a bad street. Mike, that was a phenomenal, phenomenal event. And the recognition of Buddy's and Terry's kids, and then the families and everybody. It should have been on last. You know, I had to really dig, even though Sting was very well received. I had to dig and really look for something entertaining to go out there after you guys. So, congratulations, man! This guy is president with the WWE. And you know how difficult a job that is. Time demanding,
well,
Jesus Christ.
I know how difficult it is.
Yeah. No, I'm letting the fans know. I mean, it ain't a picnic.
No, it's not. But you know what, man? I'm really blessed to be able to go to work and you get a check doing something that you love and you probably do for nothing. You know, the fact that I've been able to stay very relevant behind the scenes and be involved in some of the greatest matches and storylines for the last 20 plus years with WWE after my ring career. I don't know if it gets any better than that. You know, I mean, it keeps you on your toes because these kids are a lot different than we were, but, and you have to motivate them differently. We had different ways of motivating ourselves. None that are allowed now, but, but you know, it's, you know, life goes on, life changes. And, you know, you change with it. So, you know, I'm going to, you know, address the white room and the elephant, or the elephant in the white room, whatever that saying. You know what I mean. Here's the deal. As far as Bret Hart and his comments that came out last week, I have never, ever had one tense, bad word situation with Bret Hart. So I really don't know what motivated that or where that came from. I've always got along with him, his family. You know, I work with Natalie a lot. You know, work closely with him on his match. match with Vince in back, I think it was WrestleMania 26. And, you know, so, you know, first things first is, believe it or not, I feel that Brett is entitled to his opinion, as we all are. I also agree with some of what Brett said. And by that, I mean, no, we never did draw any money in WWF, WWE, because I don't, you know, first of all, we weren't there long enough. I don't know anybody that draws money in 2 or 3 weeks. But on top of that, I wouldn't disagree with his feelings of the people that he named that should be in the Hall of Fame. However, that's kind of where the agreement ends and the disagreement begins. Because, you know, we did draw and do squat everywhere we went that we hung our hat. And I'm proud to say that, because there's not a lot of people that can say that they actually went in and popped a territory, much less multiple territories. And for those that don't know what it means to pop a territory, it doesn't mean to be on big cards and, you know, be a part of a spectacular. It means that you go in and significantly raise the attendance before you were there. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to do that. Of course, the reason we were able to do that, we were blessed with some really over baby faces to work with. You know, Junkyard Dog, Tommy Rich, Dusty, whose birthday was yesterday, by the way, and of course, the Von Erichs. But, you know, don't say we didn't do squats.
Right.
You know, that's just ridiculous. But what really, you know, what really bugged me, and this is so uncalled for, is, you know, to call, you know, especially Terry Buddy, who's here no longer, to call them a bunch of pill heads and drunks. And, you know, why go there? What did that accomplish? I mean, it's I don't know if, and I don't know what happened to Brett. He used to be a really, really nice man. And it just seems, as time goes on, that isn't the case anymore. And he seems to be bitter, and he wants to lash out at anything and everybody. And I don't get that. He was blessed with such a career, such a family, such a great life. Enjoy it. You know, I mean, I don't know. Why be bitter?
Well, that's what we said, too. And I'm not going to disagree with you altogether, but I would never put Rick Rude in the same class as the Freebirds. Sorry. I mean, that's not a hurtful thing to say. That's an opinion.
Right.
And if anybody I've seen and had to go through and work with Rude, impaired in the ring. I'm sure everybody knows about it. When he got on the pills, he was very difficult to work with and not safe. So I could probably work with you, between you and Terry and Buddy, 150 times and never saw you impaired in the ring. That makes sense? And Rick would get bad. I mean, Rick would get bad, and they gave him the title for a while, and it's why Hogan wouldn't work with him. I mean, if you think about it, he never wrestled for the WWE title. I mean, have you ever considered that, Mike?
Well, no, you know, I wasn't up there at the time, so I don't know a lot what went on in the mid-'80s and late 90s. Now that you mention it, I don't recall him going for the title.
I can tell you, because when Hogan came with WCW, and this is not about Rick Rude, I'm just saying that I don't see him in the same light as I see you guys, and I am qualified to say that because I wasn't popping the territories like you guys were, but I was working a lot with you in those territories. I would come in and out, and I saw the success that the Freebirds brought to Dallas, and I saw it in Atlanta, and I saw it in Ohio, and I saw it in Louisiana for Bill Watts. I mean, and Brett was up in Calgary, and then that was it. And I think he had a little run in Japan, but he wasn't wrestling Jumbo and Tenru and those guys. You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't know what's wrong either. I just asked that question the other day because he's always on Hunter's ass. And I don't get that either.
Yeah, you
have to be aware of that. You've heard that before, right?
What's that?
That he's always on Hunter's ass.
Oh, yeah. Like Hunter can't lace his boots and this and that. And, I mean, you know, you know, I don't want to turn this into a pissing contest because then I'm laying in.
No, no, it's not. When I would just, I was giving you my opinion of what I thought, you know.
I know
where you guys stand in the business, and I won't let that go. I mean, no one's going to knock Michael Hayes in the Freebirds. It's not even open for debate. So that's just it.
And I love you for it. And you know, it's just some of it is so far off base. I mean, Brett knows why Owen is not in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the Fabulous Freebirds. I can tell you that. You know, and the other guys that aren't in, whether you agree with Brett's opinion or not, he's entitled to it. But the Freebirds don't have anything to do with them not going in or not being in as of yet. And, you know, we didn't even politic for this. It obviously made a lot of sense. You're in Dallas, Texas. They hold most of the attendance records. Sounds like a match made in heaven, if you ask me. Or
well, and the same could apply for Atlanta, where I was disappointed that they didn't put you in. But I thought it worked out better in Dallas, and you know, and it did. It was just fabulous. Who else did Brett recommend should be in? I didn't hear all.
Demolition
that.
Made the list.
Oh, okay.
Demolition, the Ruggios, and Rude, and Owen, I believe.
Okay. I kind of stopped it after I saw the article, the shot about you. I didn't really look at it that carefully, but
yeah,
yeah. Right, who knows? We asked. Bruce Mitchell, the same question. I think it's a lot of it comes from the concussion issue and just being, you know, you get lonely sometimes. Me, when I get lonely, I just, you know, I do my thing.
Yeah.
I go.
Hey, sweetie, get me another drink.
I go to Conrad's. or I meet you at Lake Lanier. What the hell?
Wow, that was awesome. We got to do that every July 4th.
Oh, I've been trying to get you to come back. First of all, you tell me at noon, I'll call you at 3, and then sure enough, 2 o'clock in the morning, what are you doing? Oh, I don't know. Probably sleeping. You just got up, right? Jesus.
I never could tell time well.
I got him to come out there one time, Conrad, and it was brutal. 2 solid days of great time. Rock and roll, weather was nice, but
it was awesome.
I can't get him to come back again.
Well, I heard some world records were set that weekend, so.
Well, you know, it depends. That's grading on a curve because.
Well, you know, at the Lake Lanier Lodge, we won't call that like. Let me see. What was the club in the old days down Rupert's or the? Where's the place where we went to see your girlfriend Cher?
Well, there was plenty. Like, there was the Crystal Palace in Atlanta.
Yeah, of course.
There was the Limelight.
Hey, you see, Michael Hayes, he'll drop Sharon, and he doesn't get any crap. What's the deal? Well, I mention a name when I'm getting lynched.
Well, hold on a second. Well, Sharon did win an Academy Award, didn't she?
Huh?
I said Cher did win an Academy Award, didn't she?
Yeah, she sure did.
You guys have a lot in common, or so it seems.
Wow.
Michael was responsible for straightening her teeth.
Oh, my gosh. Let's move along.
Okay.
Let's do that. And, you know, just to kind of just close up the Brett thing.
What's that?
Terry, just to close, you know, the window on the Brett thing. I mean, Terry and Buddy aren't here. I don't think... I mean, I know he wouldn't have said that to their face if they were here. So, you know, if you're not going to say something to somebody's face, let's just keep it to yourself. It'd have been just as easy to say, I'm a little disappointed in the WWE Hall of Fame. I think people that are in there should have had a career in the WWE, and here's who I think should be in. Bam. And even if he wanted to say, I think they deserve to be in more than the Freebirds, man, I'm fine with that. You start going through the drunks and the, you know, the pill heads, and a lot of that information is wrong. I told most of these stories on the JBL Legends program, you know, back in March. Andre the Giant never fired us, okay? He probably wanted to. He probably had every reason to because he had a lot to do with us going to New York, and, you know, we screwed that up. But nonetheless, Andre didn't fire us. We walked out. Vince called me. I went back. Buddy went back. Shots we had. Then on the way to Japan, which was already booked, I called Dave Wolf, and he said, Vince is not going to hire you back. He can't trust you. And that was that. But it was Vince that fired us. It wasn't Andre. That's just, and plus the town Brett's talking about, and we can get them all screwed up because we're all in so many, wasn't Providence. It was Youngstown, Ohio.
Well, I didn't hear all that. It didn't matter. I'm like you, Mike. You know, it's just like you can either, you know, here's what bothers me is you're going to have to see Brett at WrestleMania and that, you know? And why should there ever be an uncomfortable minute? Does it make sense? Well, I mean, you know, like Brett and I talk and we corrected things. And I mean, I never said shit about Brett, but he used to crack on me all the time. Okay. You know, so I never paid attention to it because I thought, hell, how do you crack on me? Does that make sense? What have I done?
Well,
except go to work every day.
Right.
But anyway, it's all good.
Yeah. But you know, like the vendetta with Seth Rollins. There, you can't find anybody in the locker room that would not want to work with Seth Rollins.
Exactly.
Nobody. And ask John Cena what happened with the nose thing. John will tell you it was my fault. Sting had this perennial neck problem that he's
of course
years of wrestling. And then the thing with Finn Balor, Finn, you're supposed to take that thing on your shoulders, on your back. Finn put his arm back there to brace it, and there it went. And lo and behold, when the operation took so much longer because of all the wear and tear and how messed up his shoulder was to begin with for 15 years of wrestling. Yeah, but that's all Seth Rollins' fault.
Oh, did Brett go off on Seth too?
Oh my God, yeah.
I didn't know that. See, I had no idea. No, wasn't Seth's fault. God, he's a tremendous talent. And Steve, it's an example of what I was talking about earlier about Bill coming back. We're discussing Bill coming back, right? And you know, when you've been off a long time, and we know it, Mike. And if you haven't, been in that position, you're off for a couple months, much less 10 years. You're going to get in the ring. You're going to wrestle Brock Lesnar the first time around. Good luck with that. That's just the way it is. Your body isn't used to it. And Brock is a whole different can than Spear and Ric Flair. Okay? Correct? I mean.
Oh, my God. Brock is an animal. I mean.
I just don't think Bill is physically going to be up for that myself. I mean. It might look good on paper, but God, because Brock is 10 times more aggressive now than last time when he wrestled Bill. Does that make sense? And Brock has become a hell of a worker, I think.
Yeah, I don't know that he's not 10 times a better athlete than he was back then because he's smarter.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And, yeah.
You know, that was a saying we've had in our business for years is that you learn to not work harder but work smarter. And then you learn to not do so many crazy things that you don't need to do when you can do something a little less and get more mileage out of it. And Brock has learned how to do that. And he's having a good time. You know, he wasn't having a good time when he was young and doing it constantly in a full-time schedule. But Mike,
at the end of the day, the T-shirt, and it's all over everywhere, he sells the T-shirt, Suplex City. Whoever is going to work with Brock Lesnar, whether he's gotten smarter, he's not going to change his style, and you're going to get suplexed. Not just once, not twice, but at least 10 times. And I don't know if Bill's ready for that. What's that?
It's double digits for sure.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, what was it, John Cena 17 times? Good Lord.
That was a lot.
I watched that at SummerSlam. I watched that with Conrad, Jesus Christ, I saw John the next day in Las Vegas. He had a black eye. He was all banged up. He could hardly walk.
At the time that earlier in the year when we were in Montreal and Brock wrestled Harper, he was falling.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got him bonused. I remember you said, Carano,
yes,
bonus Harper. Christ, he almost killed Harper. But, you know, Harper didn't complain. He goes out there and does it. That kid works hard. And he's a very good talent. He's back now, right?
Yeah, he just came back, and it's good to have him back. He's an amazing talent.
Yeah.
He really is. And speaking of amazing talents, I'm going to tell you, you will be in Boston, right?
Well, of course I'm coming to Hell in a Cell, man. Are you kidding?
Yeah, but I mean, when you think about Sasha and Charlotte.
I know.
It's already an instant classic, their rivalry. I mean, think about it. It's gone on for maybe a year. And you don't judge it by gender. You just judge it by great matches. And now they're going to be in Hell in a Cell. And it scares me a little bit to think what they're going to try to do.
Well, I just talked to mine today. I mean, to Charlotte. And, man, yeah. Number one, am I going to be there? Yes. I was told to be there today. Okay. And number two, she said, Dad, I'm going to do something no one's ever done. So I can only imagine what it'll be.
Yeah.
Now, if you come up with an idea for me to lay across the table and have her do a moonsault off the top of the cage for me, let me know in advance and I'll get sick and not make the event.
Well, you can always move.
The corkscrew was too much for me. God dang. Good God. I thought to myself, well, that's a hell of a move. And Sasha's got to break the fall. God dang.
Right? Man. Yeah. Unbelievable stuff, man. Proud of those girls. Really am. And yeah,
they put themselves in a very really unique position. I'm very proud of them, too.
Yeah, you should be. And they're finally starting to feel comfortable where they're at. You know, there's a lot of pressure to be on Raw. Not to SmackDown. In all my years here, the SmackDown crew always seems a little more loose. They just do. I don't know exactly why that is, but the Raw, and I'm not saying pressure is a bad thing because, you know, as you know, Rick, anytime you go out, there's good nerves and that will motivate you to have your best performance. I mean, I got to tell you, when we went out on stage in Dallas there, I had no idea if that was going to work or not. Thank God once I caught my breath after the first 2 minutes and I saw that the crowd was into it. It's just one of those feelings like, all right, this is going to work really well.
Yeah.
They're going to have some fun. Jimmy was trying to have fun, but he couldn't get his breath back. Jimmy was amazing during that thing. And like you said, the kids, that was fun because that's probably it for me as far as performing and couldn't have gone out any better.
Oh, Mike, it was better than good. It was, I mean, I watched the rehearsal and I told Conrad, I said, where do you see this thing that Michael's going to do tonight, man? And it's funny, I was coming across town today and, you know, it's funny how we cross and talk and all those things, but they were playing, Baby's Got Her Blue Jeans On. Michael, you just sing us one chorus of that.
Baby's Got Her Blue Jeans On.
No, it's go down in the corner, do the whole thing.
Oh, no, Rick, I can't. I don't even remember the words.
But just do the down in the corner and then say it. That's it.
Down on the corner, on the other side of town.
Yeah, keep going.
Well, I don't know the words. Great.
Just say, Baby's got her blue jeans on.
Baby's got her blue jeans on.
Oh, he sang that to every bartender at Lakeland there.
Why? That's not all I sang.
No, he's had some performances at the Conradison, too. It's always.
Oh, I'm sure. Listen, I've seen Michael Hayes. We left Sabatino's in bad shape a couple times. I don't know whose birthday it was, but we always found a reason to celebrate. Michael and I don't do well together. We do, but I mean, we always have fun. Let's put it like that.
We always have fun, and then we're glad we're not going to do that for a while.
Yeah. Oh, God. Like, so much fun.
I snuck out of Lake Lanier on that Sunday morning. When he called me to see me, I was already in, Gainesville.
Yeah, he was gone. I said, hey, I'll meet you. Let's go, man. Bloody Marys. He said, I'm already in Gainesville. Goodbye. What the hell? Jesus Christ. You're leaving a day early, man. Hey, so when are you going back? Are you going to be?
Oh, my God. I'm living Ric Flair's life here. I left Saturday, went to Salt Lake and Sacramento. Then we did Oakland, And last night was San Jose. I just flew back from San Francisco. I'll fly out in the morning to go to Orlando for NXT. Friday, I'm going to New Orleans to watch my nephew play football, high school ball. I'll fly home Saturday, then leave Sunday for Denver.
For Denver, right?
Yeah. We got two.
Where is SmackDown that week?
Same place. We're going to do two in Denver.
Oh, cool. That's great. That's great. That's a good market. You know, and then the next week is Hell in a Cell in Boston, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know what makes it even more dynamic for Sasha and Charlotte? You know,
we're in Minneapolis and Green Bay, then we go to Boston. We do Denver.
Okay, well, in other words, but the Hell in a Cell is in Boston.
Yes, sir.
Which is Sasha's hometown, man. That'll be hot as hell.
Oh,
my God. I mean, I'm so excited for both of them. Because they were screaming the other night for Sasha. It was great.
Yeah.
God.
And she's starting to get relaxed, you know.
Yeah.
She knows she can do this, and she knows she's got nobody better to do it with than Charlotte.
Yeah.
And you know, all our girls are really, really learning how to do it, man. They really are. And they're tough. I mean, they are tough.
Yeah. Wait, what's wrong with Becky Lynch right now, Michael?
She has a personal thing going on.
Oh, that's all? Nothing? Not an injury?
It's kind of a personal injury, but she's okay. And we'll
okay, good.
It's just a medical thing. It's not anything anybody needs to worry about. Was that fair to say?
I didn't know. I knew it wasn't a suspension. I knew. I just thought she got hurt. I didn't know about it. So, well, good. So, yeah, I know Becky well enough. I was going to actually call her today to see what's going on because I forgot to ask Charlotte or Ashley. So, that's great, man. I mean, but you guys are on a roll.
Yeah, everything's feeling good. But yeah. I will say this about Becky: she tells the worst jokes. I mean,
that's
the only person tells worse jokes than hers, Pat Patterson.
Worse than Pat Patterson? That's bad.
Yeah, right. Have you read Pat's book?
I have not.
Oh, you got to. It's awesome.
Is it good?
Oh, it's very good. And, 90% of the stories he's already told you a million times.
Right.
Reading it in print, it's fun. It makes you laugh all over again. And it's a good story. You know, you really get to see what he went through. And now he's finally, got that monkey off his back, so to speak, and what that's done for him, and he's enjoying life in the twilight of his career and his life.
Oh, I know he loves. I'm there, and when Pat comes aboard, Pat and I sit there and watch all the matches, and it's really fun from his perspective because having worked for Pat back in the '90s, remember he told me, and this is a story he doesn't remember telling me this, but and I'm sorry about my cold. So I'm wrestling the Warrior in Winnipeg, right?
Right.
I'm the champion, and the match, Mike, probably the second worst match I ever had in my life, the first being when I wrestled the Warrior in Phoenix, and he dropped me on my head, okay? So I come back from the ring. The match, I knew it was absolutely brutal. And Pat Patterson goes to me, "That's the worst fucking match I've ever seen in my life." And I said, "You're telling me, motherfucker, I was in it." I said,
"Are you okay?"
This is our last show. this is our farewell.
Hey, I'm glad I was able to go up.
It was absolutely terrible. I just couldn't have a match with him. Man, when the music stopped, it was like wrestling Jimmy Valiant. When the music stopped, the match was over.
That's hilarious.
That's what Arn used to say. Arn would have Jimmy Valiant give him the head, the turnbuckle head, the head to the turnbuckle on the top one, the second one all the way down to the third one. I used to die. What else could Jimmy do? Shake it, he can lift his leg up like he was taking a leak on you. I mean, good Lord. Oh. You saw it, Michael. You remember?
Oh, yeah. I stole a lot of stuff from him.
Hey,
when I first saw him in the late 70s in Memphis, and he was over in Memphis too.
Oh yeah.
I saw the long blonde hair and the dark beard, and I went, okay, check, I'll take that.
Yep.
I saw him doing music, check, I will do that too. I took a lot from Jimmy. He was, he didn't need to be a great wrestler. He was a great entertainer.
Yeah, I know, but when you were the world champion and had to try and wrestle more than 5 or 6 minutes with him, it was brutal. Are you kidding me? It's like the same thing I tried. It's really hard because he was never over in Charlotte like he was Louisiana. But the Junkyard Dog, who was a great guy.
Awesome.
Jeez, we're up in Ohio with you guys, and, I mean, I had to wrestle him in a title match. I remember Arn, those guys, I was so flipped at having to wrestle a dog every night that Arn went out and they got a white van and they put Nut House on it, right? Or no, they put ice cream truck on it or something. I wrote it on the side. It was just brutal. I was so flipped at trying to have a match with Dog Man, and the greatest guy in the world. But boy, you're trying to get more than 10 minutes out of him. It was brutal. In Louisiana, you could have 10 minutes of violence before he did anything. You know what I mean? But a little different up in Ohio. He never had quite the same buzz.
Hey, the fact that you were able to carry me to an hour time limit, that's brutal.
So, Hayes, while I got you, I don't know what you can share or not share, but there's a lot of heated opinions coming out of SummerSlam with the whole Lesnar-Orton deal. I don't know what you can share or not share, but can you shed any light on that and all the talk that comes out of that match afterwards?
Well, I can't shed a lot of light on it because that wouldn't be correct business.
Sure.
In hindsight, I don't think it should have gone on last. But you know, hindsight's always 20/20.
Right.
I will tell you this: the rematch in Chicago a few weeks ago, because of course I was there. Where Brock goes, I go. It was awesome, and I couldn't help. I mean, there's a number of us looked at each other, and went, "That should have been the SummerSlam match."
What was the difference? I heard it was really good too. What was the difference? Just the psychology, well, or the way they worked, or the way they worked it?
A little bit of both. Randy attacked Brock from behind with a chair, and it was no DQ, so that really opened up, some of the things they could do. It was a live event, so there weren't television cameras there, and it wasn't a pay per view, which I think Brock definitely gets in different modes for. He just relaxed and went out there and had a good time. And, I don't know that there's many great towns that we've all, performed in. I don't know if there's one better than Chicago. I really don't. The crowd ate it up. It kept the whole show the whole night. It was really cool.
Well, Chicago, I think, is pretty much everybody's favorite market because it's consistent. It always sells out. And it's the easiest crowd in the world to work in front of. They love wrestling in Chicago.
Yeah, they just stay up. They don't burn themselves out.
No.
Some crowds, they'll get burnt out, and they get tired. that's not that way. God bless them.
Well, fantastic, man. Well, what else is going on? Anything new that we need to know about?
Yeah, let's talk about TNA. I don't know what you can share or not share, but lots of rumors and innuendo, as our friend Bruce Pritchard would say. What's the like? Supposedly, the WWE even sent out a poll. Would you pay $14.99 if it meant content from Ring of Honor and TNA? Do you think there's any possibility that WWE winds up with that library, or is that just internet talk?
Well, if they send out a survey, then they're going to take that research. They're going to take that information and, make a decision. So, I guess my point is they wouldn't ask you if they weren't contemplating. Now, I can tell you, I'm in high-level talks all the time with Vince and Hunter. We haven't discussed it. But by the same token, when I'm in with them, we have, like this week, we did 3 live shows.
Right.
So, 2 of them were at 3 hours apiece. So that's what our agenda is for that day. And quite frankly, I wanted to ask them about the now, you know, so anyway, I told you guys I had a little bit of time. I got a 3:15 appointment I got to make. Then I got to get on the phone with Vince at 5 o'clock. I mean, it just doesn't stop.
Well, Mike, we're going to let you go and say thank you so much for taking the time.
No, man, thank you guys for having me on. I love to be on y'all's show.
Man, thanks for having us.
If I don't see you before, I'm sure Conrad will be in the loop, too. We'll be up there for Hell in a Cell in Boston.
Okay, awesome. I'll look forward to it.
Thanks so
much,
Mike.
Thank you.
Travel safe. Our best to your nephew.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, kid.